Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley. I am delighted to see you all with us this morning. I have a few announcements to share. So the first is, I know it's a little bit chilly in the sanctuary this morning. We have not turned the furnace on yet. We are hoping to have it checked out in the next week or two, so please bear with us as we get that sorted out. Second announcement is that the deacons are going to have their monthly meeting this Tuesday at 7 o'clock via Zoom. If you are a deacon and you have not received the link from me for the meeting, let me know, and I will make sure that you get it before our meeting on Tuesday night. Third announcement. So on Tuesday, we have our presbytery meeting. It'll be our first presbytery meeting since COVID has happened. And since the minutes are out, I feel okay to share this with you. So I'm going to be nominated to serve as our senior vice moderator, which basically means I will be helping to moderate our presbytery meetings in 2021, and then I'll be moderating them in 2022. This also means I get to go to GA in 2022, which I'm pretty excited about. It's not going to change a lot for you guys in terms of like our day-to-day operations, but I just wanted to share that with you and let you know. Those are all of the announcements I have. Does anyone else have any announcements to share? All right. Let us, why am I not, I feel like I'm not, do you have a bulletin?
No.
No. Okay. So I don't have the bulletin in front of me. I am just going to go by the PowerPoint slides. So I probably forgot something. And if I did, I apologize. Did I skip the call to worship? No. Okay. Great. Sorry. I'm staring at the PowerPoint handouts, not the bulletin. So if I discombobulate things, it's because of that. Friends, at this time, please join with me for our call to worship. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, All Are Welcome. with me now for our prayer of confession. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been, help us amend what we are, and direct what we shall be, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Friends, I declare to you in this day that in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection
of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us take a moment to greet one another from our seats.
Good morning.
Let us quiet our hearts and our minds for our choir's anthem.
Thank you.
So yes, we praise the Lord for the Spirit in this place, and just want to offer a praise request today for the Spirit in this place and how far we've come since June when we all came back together. And every week it seems we get a little closer to normal in our own little Glenshaw Valley bubble. So praise the Lord for that. Also, prayer requests that we can continue to grow towards what we used to be as we look into the fall season and all the things that are so important to our church life in the fall. Prayers for those who have to make decisions to how we can continue our fall activities safely and securely without eliminating them. Also, prayer request today from Patty Gamrod and Jody French. Prayers for a friend of theirs, Tammy Lynn Cutright, who has a tumor on her kidney, and they're testing to see whether or not it has spread. And prayers also that the doctors will be guided with the right kind of treatment for her. And also a praise request for both Patty and Chuck Gamrod. They are both cancer-free. So that's great.
A few prayer requests to add. So Lynn's daughter, Cassie, wasn't feeling well earlier this week, and she was worried that she may have COVID. I just checked with Lynn. Her daughter's COVID test was negative, but she does have pneumonia. So while we are delighted that she doesn't have COVID, pneumonia is no joke. Lynn said that she's starting on a Z-pack of antibiotics yesterday, so hopefully she should be feeling better in the next day or two. So continue to keep Cassie in your prayers. We will continue to pray for a coronavirus treatment and vaccine. We will continue to pray for our brothers and sisters on the West Coast that are battling wildfires. And we will pray for our brothers and sisters in the South and Midwest that are battling hurricanes. Friends, please join me in prayer. Loving God, through your Son, you have called us to repent of our sin, to believe the good news, and to celebrate the coming of your kingdom. Like Christ's apostles, may we hear his call to discipleship, and forsaking old ways, proclaim the gospel of new life to a broken world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, let us pray for our concerns. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. Lord, this morning we lift up to you Cassie and Tammy. Lord, we also ask you to strengthen those who face particular challenges. Lord, this morning I lift up to you our session members, our deacons, and our Women's Association as they continue to make plans for the fall. We pray that you would help them to think creatively and strategically about how they are going to carry out our fall activities while keeping everyone safe. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, we continue to pray for a coronavirus treatment and vaccine. We continue to pray for our brothers and sisters on the West Coast as they battle wildfires. We pray for our brothers and sisters in the South as they are dealing with unprecedented hurricanes. We present our joys to you this morning with gratitude. Lord, we are so thankful that we are able to gather in person for worship, that the choir is able to meet again, that we are able to start making some plans for the fall. Lord, if this pandemic has taught us nothing else, it has taught us that we are social creatures and we need one another to get through this. Lord, we also delight that Patty and Chuck are cancer-free. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear, but may we also do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us quiet our hearts and our minds for our offertory. Seated.
The scripture for today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came, and each received a denarius. When those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So, the last will be first, and the first will be last. The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So I want to start our time together this morning with a question. Does anyone remember what the 10th commandment is? You don't get to answer because you know the answer to this already. Anybody? All right, the 10th commandment reads, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's." When you look at the Ten Commandments, they're broken into two parts. The first four commandments are how we are to relate to God. So this is the part that talks about having no other gods but God. And the second part of the commandments, so commandments 6 through 10, talk about how we are to relate to our neighbors. So this is the part that talks about not stealing or lying or committing adultery or coveting. The reason that we have these commandments is they're meant to teach us how we are to relate to God, but also how we are to live in community with one another. And the reason that the commandment for not coveting is in there is because coveting or desiring that which isn't ours will only lead to jealousy. And we cannot love our neighbors if we're jealous of them. This morning, our scripture reading is the parable of the workers in the vineyard. In it, Jesus highlights the generosity of God through this character of a wealthy landowner. This parable also highlights our own inclination to covet that which God chooses to give others. We are represented by the laborers who grumble at the wages they receive from the landowner. This parable is inviting us to reflect on what in our own lives we are coveting and how we can give this desire over to God. Now, you're only going to find this parable in Matthew's gospel. It begins with a wealthy landowner going to the marketplace and hiring laborers to work his field that day. Now, this was a common practice in the ancient Near East. What was a little bit uncommon about it is that a wealthy landowner would typically have a manager who would go to the marketplace every day and hire these laborers. And the manager probably would not pay people hired at the end of the day the same wage he paid people hired at the beginning of the day. But this is the landowner, this is the boss. It's his land and it's his money. He can do with it as he chooses. The conflict in this parable comes at the end of the day when all of the laborers, regardless of how much time they worked, receive the same wages. So the laborers hired at the beginning of the day accuse the landowner of being unfair. But they're actually missing the point of the parable. The point of this parable is that God's grace and mercy and forgiveness are God's to give away as God sees fit. All we can control is our reaction to God's action in our lives. Now, I think it's fair to say that we've all done a bit of coveting over the last couple months during this pandemic. I know that I have spent way too much time scrolling through social media when we were at home. And it's really easy to forget that social media, so things like Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, those are actually not reality. They are the one perfect moment that someone is posting in an otherwise ordinary day. When I was putting this sermon together and I was thinking about where in my life I've been coveting, I got to thinking about my friend's gym. So when the coronavirus pandemic started, all of us were freaking out and trying to figure out how we were going to work out from home because all of our gyms were closed. So my friend and her husband are in the process of turning their backyard into a gym, complete with squat racks and barbells and rowing machines and weights. And every day they would post pictures updating on the status of their gym. The reason that they built this gym is so that she, her husband, her kids, and maybe a couple neighbors could work out together. Now, I know what you're thinking. Gee, Pastor, if you want a home gym so badly, why don't you just cancel your gym membership and build one? Don't think, I haven't thought about it over the last couple months. But there are several practical problems that inhibit this from happening. The first, and perhaps biggest, is I don't own my home. And my landlord is great, but I can't see him being super excited about me drilling holes in the wall of his garage so that I can put up a squat rack. The second problem is that I have a neighbor that lives beneath me. She is 22 and on a good day gets up at 11:30 in the morning. I can't imagine her being okay with me dropping a barbell on the garage floor at 7 in the morning and shaking the entire house. Also, gym equipment is expensive, and it is almost impossible to find right now because everybody is trying to work out from home. And this is, you know, perhaps the most important. So as you all know, even with a coach monitoring me, I still manage to injure myself regularly. And I keep having this vision of me like dropping a barbell on myself and nobody else being there to call 911 if I need it. So in my head, I know that building a home gym right now just really isn't practical. And I thought once I knew in my head that it wasn't practical to do this, I would quit being jealous of my friend. Well, it turns out, knowing something in your head does not automatically make you stop coveting that which isn't yours. I know it's ridiculous to be jealous of my other friend figuring out how to make the best of a bad situation. I'm grateful that I'm able to leave my house and go to the gym now that it's open again. But more importantly, I know that this jealousy is not good for our friendship. If I'm jealous of her, then how can I be friends with her? It was funny, as I was putting this sermon together and I was talking with my family about preaching about jealousy and coveting, my mom reminded me of this kind of famous story in our family where I think I was five, so my sister would have been two or three, and somehow Emily got two scoops of ice cream and I only got one, and I threw this most epic tantrum because she got more than I did, and I was older and I should have gotten more. And my mom said she remembered her dad, my grandfather, sitting me down and saying, "Rebecca, everyone is at a different part of their journeys. It is just not acceptable for you to be mad at your sister for getting more ice cream." I didn't know it at the time, but what he was trying to teach me is that it does nothing to be jealous of other people's good fortune. Life is difficult for everyone. It's harder still if we can't celebrate other people and their small victories. I really think learning how to celebrate other people's good fortune is our key takeaway from this parable. We don't want to be like the day laborers who bemoan the good fortune of the laborers hired at the end of the day. I hope this week you will take some time reflecting on what it is you are coveting and how maybe you can give that desire over to God. Maybe you all don't have dreams of building your own home gym, but I imagine that there is something you have seen other people have or do that you really want to have or do. I know for me, one way that I'm trying to give that over to God is I've really had to get disciplined about spending less time on social media. Because constantly comparing my real life to other people's make-believe lives is only making me jealous. Now, maybe for you, you are not coveting your own barbell, but maybe you have to do things like making less trips to the mall, or maybe not picking up the phone when your friend calls for the third or fourth time to show off something that you would like to do. Whatever it is, naming and then redirecting our jealousy takes spiritual discipline. Friends, whatever you have to do, I hope you remember this. The goal of giving over a desire to God is not to make ourselves look better in the eyes of others, but to say that what God is doing in our midst is more important than my desire to have my own barbell. Coveting destroys community because it robs us of the joy of celebrating other people's good fortune. Jesus' parables are meant to get us to think critically of our own lives and of the world around us. I think we can all agree that one thing this world needs less of are people who are envious because God is generous. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn, Live Into Hope. Let me say a word of blessing as we prepare to go from this place. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a plan and God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.